Today I'm sitting down with Alice Henshaw, one of the most sought after estheticians in London. It's so hard to get an appointment with her, to talk about the treatments worth your money, the myths ruining your skin, and why some of the biggest beauty trends might be doing more harm than good. So welcome, Alice, with On Beauty.
Thank you so much. Lovely to have you.
I know you're really busy, so I want to get straight to it. Mm-hmm. With so many products, treatments, trends, how does someone actually figure out what their skin really needs?
So I think the issue is finding out what your main concern is with your skin and specifically targeting that issue. So whether that could be pigmentation, acne, aging, and then doing specific treatments and specific products for those concerns.
And there are so many treatments and products. Like for me, I'm overwhelmed. I'm in the industry. There are lasers, injectables, at-home devices. Are we overcomplicating skincare, or is that just the future of beauty?
I think we are overcomplicating it, particularly, I would say, with investing in very expensive at-home devices. Mm-hmm. So there are a few brands, and I'm not going to name names, but, you know, certain microcurrent or LED at-home devices, which, you know, can be quite expensive. Some of them can range to $1,000 to $5,000. Mm. And as we know, in clinic, we're really going to be seeing those clinical results. So devices that are CE or FDA approved, they're going to give 10 times better results than at-home devices. I think it's also to do with the consumer's expectation of the results those devices might be delivering.
Are there any at-home devices you would recommend?
Look, I don't think LED lights are bad, but it's also about consistency. So to really see a result for, you know, rosacea or acne, you're going to be wanting to use that device every day. And I don't feel that clients possibly do use those devices every day.
Yeah, exactly. So what's one thing the beauty industry has completely convinced us we need, but actually doesn't do much at all?
Well, look, I think certain products that might not be clinically tested or proven, certainly. So there's a lot of skincare products on the market that don't deliver the results they claim to. Equally, I probably get cancelled for saying this, but I don't feel that collagen supplements, ingestible collagen supplements, really make that much of a difference to your skin. Okay. They're fantastic for your gut, fantastic for your joint health. But I would say once again, if you're trying to get similar results, and it's a clinic that a question that I get asked every day in clinic, you know, do collagen supplements make a difference with my skin? Probably not so much.
Even if you take them every day?
Even if you take them every day, you, as I said, they're not bad to take, but are you going to see much of a result in your skin, elastin and quality? Probably not.
Okay. And if someone has £500 to spend on treatments, where should they invest for the best results? I mean, I've started myself with Botox and I love it.
Yes.
But where should, you know, if someone hasn't started yet?
I'm actually going to say Botox. So I think for £500, Botox is generally around £400. You're going to see the, you know, the best results for anti-aging for around that £300, £400 mark. And then I would invest in a sunscreen that you're going to wear every day.
What is the biggest mistake people make when getting Botox or filler? And how do you avoid looking overdone?
I would say the biggest mistake people make when finding a practitioner to do their Botox or filler is if they are letting the price determine who they're choosing. I always say something cheaper is going to end up being a bit more expensive because you're going to probably end up having to pay to have someone correct that. Another mistake I would say is people not asking for before and after photos, not reading reviews, and as I said, letting price dictate where they're booking.
So the before and afters and the reviews are like crucial to your clinic side of the business.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say 90% of our clients are via referrals.
Okay. Wow.
And then clients will always check reviews and check before and afters on Instagram. But no, we have a very large referral.
What is the most asked for treatment in your clinic?
Ooh, I would say probably lip filler. Okay. It's probably the treatment that we sort of started 10 years ago doing more natural than other clinics were offering, which is how we've got our reputation and we attract a more discerning clientele because of that. It's the most ask for treatment, but also the one that people are most concerned about not looking overdone.
And it's been trending for a while, since Kylie Jenner, for years now.
Absolutely.
It's still trending. Are there any other trending or emerging trends that are coming up that you're spotting on top?
Certainly. I would say people reversing old filler, which is great. Mm-hmm. I think clients and consumers are much more aware of what migration looks like, what overfilling looks like, and that's due to Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's a bad trend. What other trending treatments? I would say polynucleotides. So otherwise known on Instagram as salmon or trout sperm.
Yeah, the facial. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that got its spot in the limelight because Kim Kardashian got it done. Mm-hmm. But it is a fantastic treatment.
And in terms of trends now, mm-hmm. there's more and more people talking about Ozempic and Ozempic face. What's actually happening to the skin? Can it be fixed? And are you seeing more clients come in for this?
Absolutely. So there is a rise in people obviously taking Ozempic and Mounjaro and other weight loss medications. So how does this affect the skin? Well, essentially your fat pads are giving your skin that support and structure. So when you lose weight rapidly, you're losing that structure and your skin will sag. Rapid weight loss can also affect your collagen and elastin in your skin. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing a lot of what is being called Ozempic face. Mm-hmm. So we are treating this with certain dermal fillers injected to give the skin back that support and structure, as well as biostimulators. So that's the likes of Sculptra, polynucleotides, and different devices such as Morpheus, HIFU.
Wow, there's quite a few.
There's quite a few.
And people are getting Botox mm-hmm. younger and younger. Do you think this is a good thing? Are we heading into dangerous territory?
Look, I wouldn't say it's dangerous territory. I would say that it really depends on when that person needs to start Botox. And there might be clinics that are just injecting for financial benefit rather than does that client actually need it. Mm. I wouldn't inject someone with Botox in their early 20s. However, if they needed the Botox for a treatment such as bruxism, which is when people grind their teeth, we may be injecting a 21-year-old. I would say for cosmetic purposes, Botox, occasionally we will treat someone who's about 25. That's more rare, but if that client needed that treatment, then we would treat them. And the way to determine that would be whether that client was showing signs of static lines. Right. So that might be that they're 25, it might be when they're 30. So really it's on a client-to-client basis rather than, oh, you must wait until you're age 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the SPF,
yes.
So you have a line called Skin Cycles.
I do.
And I've always used SPF 50, but you mm-hmm. have an SPF 100.
Yes.
Is there a huge difference? I mean, I've read that SPF 50 is actually perfect, but you also have 100. So I would love the thinking behind that.
Sure. I mean, it makes a small amount of difference and comparable to the SPF 100, but the higher the better.
Yeah.
It's not doing any harm. We've also made sure our sunscreen line contains hyaluronic acid, ferulic acid, and a lot of antioxidants. It was specifically formulated as well to encourage people to wear sunscreen. So all of the reasons people would give me for not wearing sunscreens. Mm-hmm. So for example, my skin breaks out, my eyes will sting, my makeup will start pilling on top of the sunscreen, so I don't want to wear it. Yeah. We've created this divine formula, if you've tried it yourself. Yeah. And yes, it is SPF 100.
And there is... I mean, there are so many brands out there. What made you decide to take matters into your own hands and start Skin Cycles?
So I think for me, I was just frustrated with certain products on the market. I mean, we do still offer some other amazing brands in clinics, so I'm not saying that my brand is, you know, the best by any means. Mm. But I suppose it was specific products, such as sunscreens, that I didn't quite find the right formula that I wanted to use, my clients wanted to use.
Is that where you started? With the product lineup?
It was actually the biocellulose mask that I started with. So I was struggling finding a mask post-treatment, so post-laser and post-chemical peel, that was effective, that had the right fit onto the face, and that delivered the active ingredients that we wanted.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know
it was a mask that started. It's the OG product.
Is there a skincare or aesthetic treatment you've tried and you've regretted?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I feel like I've tried everything.
Have you tried all of them?
Well, not all of them, no. One that I would never try would be, I suppose, a lot of trending treatments such as, you know, this foxy eyes using threads.
What's foxy eyes?
It's when you get some small threads to lift the tail of the brow. But it's not effective long term. I don't think it looks particularly natural. It can cause a lot of complications. I would say avoid trends because they come in and out. A treatment that I have got that I've regretted, I would say, would have to be in my mid-20s when I suffered quite badly from, I would say, moderate to severe acne. And I think the mistake I made was going into beauty salons rather than going to a professional and having a lot of treatments that didn't actually help the acne and possibly exacerbated
it. I guess you're in that state where you're like, anything to help.
Exactly. Yeah. I was desperate. And I think I lost a lot of trust and spent a lot of money on treatments. And At the end of it, I ended up going to see a dermatologist and went on Roaccutane, and that's exactly something that I probably should have done at the beginning. But I will always be really honest with my clients and say, you know, if your acne is moderate to severe, you need to either go on Roaccutane, or there is now a new laser, which is called AviClear, which is the first FDA-approved laser, actually, to dry up the sebaceous glands, which is effectively what Roaccutane does. Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic breakthrough in dermatology. But so, I think, yeah, just spending money on treatments that I didn't need would be my regret. But you live and you learn.
On the back of lasers... From Moxie, Morpheus 8, it's a whole world to me that I'm still learning about. There are so many treatments out there. How does someone know which laser treatment is right for them?
Sure. So I think, you know, and we have got probably about 50 different devices in clinic. Yeah. What is right for them depends on what their skincare concern is. So if you had acne, for example, I'm not going to recommend certain lasers to you. There's specific lasers that are going to target specific concerns. So really, the best thing you can do is go in for a consultation.
It's a case-by-case basis.
Exactly. And I hear a lot of, oh, but my friend had this treatment and they had fantastic results. That's fantastic. Your friend may have needed that treatment, but this one might be more appropriate for you. And that would depend on, as I said, acne, pigmentation, also diagnosing what that pigmentation is. So, for example, if you had melasma and you went for a CO2 laser, that could actually make that melasma a lot worse. Whereas if your pigmentation was diagnosed as sun damage, CO2 is going to be excellent for you.
And so you know I can't do pain. I hate pain. I still need to be convinced just because I've got no pain threshold. But some laser treatments promise zero downtime. Others leave you like peeling for days or there's some recovery. Is there a trade-off between results and recovery time?
Sometimes. So as I said, that can be quite dependent on what laser you get.
Yeah.
So whether it's for acne or pigmentation. But for example, if we were doing something for pigmentation, absolutely. If you want to do a one and done, you know, an ablative or CO2 fractional laser is your gold standard. Mm-hmm. If you're someone who says, look, I don't have downtime, I can't take a week off work, I'm not one for, you know, dealing with much pain, then you might like to do, you know, a course of 4 to 6 lighter treatments, but it's going to take you longer to get to that end result.
Most of these lasers are correctional. Are there any preventative treatments?
Absolutely, yeah. So the likes of Morpheus or Ultraforma or Thermage, they're not lasers as such. Mm-hmm. They are energy devices. And yes, they do help promote collagen and elastin and help to sort of tighten and firm the skin, whereas our CO2 lasers and fractionals are resurfacing lasers. Okay. So yes, definitely those energy-based devices can be used preventatively.
And then just back to skincare, if you could give just one piece of skincare advice that everyone should follow, what would it be?
I think you know what I'm going to say
SPF.
Now.
SPF,
exactly.
Yeah.
You should be wearing, you know, SPF 50 and above every day.
And with your own skincare line, why Skin Cycle? So you've got the most advanced injectables and lasers and tech in your clinic. You've got all of it. I guess, you know, you want to take the matter into your own hands and create your own skincare line. What made you really push you to do that? And why the name Skin Cycles?
So the name Skin Cycles came from the theory of the beginning of the skin cell growth to its renewal stage, which is 4 to 6 weeks. And generally we say with any brand, use it for 3 skin cycles before seeing optimal results. So that's where the name came from. And in terms of why I developed it, I just saw a gap in the market for certain products that I was frustrated with within clinic. But saying that, I still use other brands as well. Like I love my Obagi Hydroquinone and Tretinoin. I love Meso Aesthetic. I love IS Clinical. So Skin Cycles, I would say, would fit in more of a maintenance range once someone has been through a medical protocol.
Gotcha. And in terms of the entire product range, it's still, you're still pretty new to the market, but amazing stockists.
Thank you.
If you were to recommend just one product from the entire collection to try, which would it be?
Ooh. So I would say our hero products were one of our first products, which is the biocellulose mask. It's beautiful. It's effective. When you wear this mask, you will notice the difference between this and other masks. Super hydrating. I use it every day in clinic, as I said, post-laser or chemical peel. Very calming. And the SPF.
And the SPF.
It's amazing.
And if someone uses Skin Cycles today, what is the biggest change they'll notice in their skin that they weren't getting from other brands?
Pigmentation improvement and pigmentation, fine lines and wrinkles, and hydration. And all of our products are clinically tested and proven to work.
And just generally, what are you seeing in the industry? You know, you mentioned, I'm bouncing around a bit, but women coming to have their filler dissolved, is it just migrating more towards like a natural aesthetic, less done look, or is it still very much the individual?
I would say there's definitely a trend, and I hope it stays, which is going towards a more natural look. I think we've got a lot more of a savvy consumer who is very educated, which is great to see. And I think it's just awareness about, you know, what overfilling looks like, because you'd be quite surprised at how many clients will come in for lip filler, for example, and I'll have to sort of say to them, you know, unfortunately, we will have to dissolve this and start again. We can't do the lip filler because you've got migration. And it's interesting how many clients are not aware until you reverse this filler that they had that migration. And then they'll say, oh my gosh, yes, well, now my family and my friends are saying, oh yeah, that looked terrible. But they weren't telling them before. So sometimes it takes a professional to make them aware of that. But as I said, it's a trend that I hope stays. And I think that is a wonderful thing about social media and Instagram is when you can educate clients and consumers about, you know, what might not look so good and obviously what's good.
Last question. Sure. Can we see what's in your handbag, please?
Oh, okay. Thank you. Don't know how interesting this is going to be. So I have got, well, harping on about it, this is our DNA defense, the SPF 100.
Yeah. You got that on today.
Got that on today under my makeup. I also like to reapply with SPF 50 on top of the makeup.
So it's the mist.
It's the mist. This is something that is a little beauty hack, and I actually saw this on Instagram. I just bought them off Amazon. And they are little stickers that you pop behind the earlobe. And if you're wearing a heavier earring, it gives it a bit of structure and support if you feel that. Exactly. So that's cool. I saw that on some influencers page, actually. That's They're really cool. What else do I have? I have got this beautiful Hermes perfume, which it was sent to me, actually. I don't know what the name of it is. And Bobbi Brown lip gloss.
Is that your go-to?
It's my go-to. I love it. Have you tried this one?
I haven't tried it.
It is stunning. And some doggy poo bags.
For your beautiful doggy.
For my little doggy. That's what's in my bag.
Keeping it real.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks.